speak to us now, O Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth, God, will pass, but your word will forever last. We are now ready for your word. Father, I pray now that the purpose for this sermon would fulfill the purpose for your people, to help us to be all you have called us to be, so we can help others to know you and to grow in you. We ask you to have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You have probably all heard the saying at one time or another. Here it is. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. In a transactional world where people are viewed as a means to an end, where people are always trying to get to a place and accomplish a goal or accomplish a task, it's important for us to be reminded every now and then that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People walk in with all types of knowledge and all types of degrees, and they are experts in their specific subject matter, but somehow they fail the test when it comes to just loving people and caring about people. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, the sad truth is, my brothers and sisters, there is no place that this phrase is more evident and no place where this phrase is more important than in the church of Jesus Christ. See, you have a bunch of people who walk around who have the right theology. You have a bunch of people who walk around who know the plan of salvation. They know how to quote the scriptures and explain Christian doctrine. But at the end of the day, people in the church and outside of the church, when they look at us, they don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. Now, when we talk about this season to serve, here's what I need you to understand. Serving does not replace sharing the gospel, but serving prepares people for the gospel. We don't serve just to be serving and think now we have been absolved of any responsibility to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. But our serving tenderizes people's hearts. It prepares the way. It shows people, before we want to tell them what we know, we get a chance to show them how much we care. A meal delivered to a grieving family gives us an opportunity to show how much we care. Helping an elderly neighbor with a task or a chore shows them how much we care. Volunteering in the community can place you beside someone who can see how much you care. Because see, when you serve people, here's the truth of the matter. We enter into their world with no strings attached. So what does God call us to do? Whenever we feed, whenever we serve, whenever we volunteer, whenever we work hard, God wants to make sure that our service is always linked with sharing. That when we serve people, we recognize and help them understand that we are not serving just for the sake of serving. We're serving to share God's love with them. Because in a real sense, y'all, God has no hands except our hands. He has no feet except our feet. And it is when we walk in the lives of other people, we get a chance to share with them the love of God in a tangible way. Today, for a few moments, I want to continue our Season to Serve series. And I want to talk to you from the thought, how to serve so you can share Jesus with others. How to serve so you can share Jesus with others. Our foundational text is Colossians chapter 4, beginning at verse 2 through verse 6. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. How to serve so you can share Jesus with others. Now, our text is found in the book of Colossians. It was one of the prison epistles that was written by the Apostle Paul somewhere around AD 60 to 62 to the believers in Colossae. This letter was written to a congregation that Paul did not personally found, but he wrote to strengthen the believers against teaching that diminished the sufficiency and supremacy of Jesus Christ. Throughout the letter to the church of Colossae, Paul presents a magnificent picture of Jesus. If you ever want to get a consolidated, crystallized view of who Jesus is, what theologians call good Christology, the study of who Christ is, read the book of Colossians. Paul presents several images of Christ and who he is. He talks about Christ being the image of the invisible God. He talks about Jesus being the creator and sustainer of all things. He talks about him being the head of the church, not the pastor or preacher, not the deacon or trustee, but that Christ is the head of the church. He talks about the fact that through his blood, he reconciles sinners to God, and it's in him that the fullness of the deity exists and all believers are complete. As a matter of fact, one of the great principles out of the book of Colossians that I've been working on for several years is this idea of knowing who you are in the inside so you can live right on the outside. That's just as a side note as I get to the text, because there are too many of us who have not learned how to live from the inside out. We live from the outside in. And we find our satisfaction, our value and worth based on the stuff on the outside instead of walking into a room secure in who we are based on who we are on the inside in Jesus Christ. I'll save that for another day. In chapter 3, Paul discusses personal holiness, Christian relationships, family life, and conduct in the workplace. Then he makes a shift. And as we get to chapter 4, this shift is evident. He explains how we are to live in relationship to people who do not yet know Jesus. He says, this is how you're supposed to live, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now, just in case you don't think I'm talking to you, just in case you don't think I'm knocking on your door, walking down your street, or sitting at your table, all of us know at least one person who's on their way to hell. Hopefully you're not living with them. Better yet, hopefully you're not sleeping with them. But all of us know at least one person who needs Jesus in their life. Watch what Paul says. Here's the first thing. Number one, if you're going to serve so you can share Jesus with others, you need to pray for God to give you opportunities to share and show his love to others. He says you need to pray. You need to pray. Leave it up there because they need a little more time, y'all. You need to pray for God to give you opportunities to share and show his love to others. Watch what he says, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the New Living Translation. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Three times in three verses, Paul admonishes the church at Colossae to pray. And if he tells you something three times in three verses, what is that message? That it is important for you and for me to pray. He says, pray with an alert mind and a thankful heart. and not only pray for yourself, he says, but pray for all of us that God will give us opportunities. Before you go to serve, God wants you to learn how to pray in preparation. So before you go to serve, Paul says, learn how to go to God. Now, y'all, this sounds real simple, and it might be insulting to somebody. But here's what I know. When it's serving time, you'll get up and you'll get dressed and you'll get ready and you'll plan your day. But do you ever stop to really pray in an intentional way? Not, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning, but actually pray and say, Lord, how are you going to use me today to help somebody who needs you to know you and help somebody who knows you to grow in you? God, give me an opportunity. So when he says devote yourselves to prayer, it carries the idea of persisting, continuing steadfastly, and being faithfully committed to something. He says you need to devote yourselves to praying, not an occasional prayer when it's convenient, but it's a prayer that settles down in your spirit and it becomes a persistent practice. See, if nothing else, here's what Paul wants you to understand. Spiritual work requires spiritual power. Too many of us try to do spiritual work in our power. And God says, no, you need to understand spiritual work is done in my power. And while you and I, while we have the ability to meet physical needs through human ability, only God can open a heart to the gospel. See, that's what makes what we do different, y'all. It's not just feeding, it's not just sheltering, it's not just encouraging, but we do it to show the love of God to somebody else. We do it to let somebody know that God still loves them. And so before you serve, you should pray, Lord, prepare the way. Lord, get me ready for who you're getting me ready for. You remember when Saul got struck down on the road to Damascus, and you remember he was there and God speaks to a gentleman by the name of Ananias. And God says to Ananias, God says, I need you to go over. There's a fellow by the name of Saul who's praying to me right now. And I need you to go and be the answer to his prayer. And somebody today, I need you to ask yourself, are you ready to be the answer to somebody's prayer? Somebody is praying for God to step in. Are you ready to be the answer and step in? Somebody is praying for God to speak to them. Are you willing to be the voice of God? He says, pray with an alert mind and with a thankful heart and ask God to give you an opportunity. An opportunity, an open door. God, open the door. Open the door so I have a chance to walk in. But you got to learn how to see the door when it's open. And he says, so that I may share, look at verse 3, the B part, speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. It's the salvation plan of knowing Jesus as your Savior. A sailor who goes out and is on a sailboat cannot create the wind. He can raise the sail, he can position the boat, and the sailor can watch the conditions, but the wind comes beyond himself or herself. Prayer is how you raise the sail. Prayer is how you raise the sail and then trust God to provide whatever you need to get you where God wants you to be. Before your next act of service, I want you to think about and identify one person you may encounter and pray specifically, Lord, open a door for your word, and then help me to remain both thankful and alert. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Let's read it together. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. You sound so good. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 together. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. If you want to share Jesus through service, you've got to learn how to pray before you proceed. Supplicate before you serve. Here's the second thing. It's right here in the text. If you're going to serve so you can share Jesus with others, number two, you must practice living wisely so people can see Jesus in how you live. You've got to practice living wisely so people can see Jesus in how you live. Look at verse 5, Colossians chapter 4. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Live wisely among those who are not believers. Paul understands that each of us knows a cadre of people who need Jesus in their life. And here's what Paul says. You've got to be careful. Now, you want to live right among believers, but you sure enough want to live right among unbelievers. Why? Because you don't want your lifestyle or your idiosyncratic tendencies to get in the way of you being able to share the love of God with them. So he said, act wisely toward unbelievers. Act wisely towards outsiders. Paul moves from your prayer life to your public life. He says, when you get to your public life, he says, make sure you're living in a way in front of unbelievers, in front of outsiders, so that you don't become a stumbling block to their faith. Now, I want you to notice what Paul doesn't say. He doesn't say fear outsiders. He doesn't say avoid outsiders. And he sure doesn't say condemn outsiders. You know, it's amazing to me how many times we miss the opportunity to share the love of God with somebody who really needs it, because too many in the church have been taught people in the world are the opposition and not an opportunity to share God's love with them. We look at them and we say, ooh, don't come in here because y'all gonna mess our little perfect church up. Because where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst, and we got two or three in here. And we get mad when somebody comes to visit and they have the audacity, the unmitigated gall to sit in your seat. There's no name on it. You didn't pay for it. You can't claim, but it's your seat. And they should know, but oh my God, somebody had the nerve to come and park in my space. And God says, you can't win anybody you don't make feel welcome and wanted. How many times do you go back to somebody's house who acted a fool with you when you went to the house? And they gave you every indication that they didn't want you to come to their house, that you were an inconvenience, that you were a pain, that you were a bother. How many times are you looking to go back to that house? Now, what a tragedy it is, my brothers and sisters, that people have that experience, not when they come to your house, but when they come to God's house. And we don't have sense enough to realize that as an ambassador of God, it's our job to make everybody who comes in, not just the folk we know, everybody who comes in, to make them feel welcome and to make them feel wanted. So he says, act wisely. What does that mean, act wisely? Wisdom asks, what does love require here? What action should I take to best represent Jesus? In that moment, do I need to speak? Do I need to listen? Do I need to help? Or do I need to wait? See, some people who name the name of Christ, who say they are Christians, speak the truth at the wrong time, in the wrong tone, or without first listening. Many of you talk and you talk and somebody else is talking and you're not listening. You're just waiting for them to stop to breathe to get back in what you want to say. And it's especially true for those of us who are Christians, because we think we know it all. And these poor sinners out here, these poor folk out here, they need my help. This is going to shock you. But there are some people who love Jesus, who really love the Lord, who pray, who spend time in his word, some of whom are homeless. And you go to serve as if you're doing them a favor. And God has given you a favor to give you an opportunity to interact with somebody who can teach you more about him than you can teach them. See, we miss the fact, because we've been erroneously taught that you measure how spiritual you are by your net worth. So we're quick to talk about doing ministry to the people who are down and out, when in truth, the people who really need some gospel are the people who are up and in. And we fail to understand that God has a plan for us. And so he says, make the most of every opportunity. Paul wants you to recognize holy potential in everyday opportunities and in everyday interactions. When you go by a store, you see a store window. Walking through the mall, you see a store window in the mall, and the window doesn't contain everything that's in the store. Its purpose is to give you a visible glimpse, looking from the outside, of what they have on the inside. Now, if a person does a window right, they put some items in there that'll pique your interest, that will arouse your curiosity and make you want to go in and see what else they have. Your acts of service are like a store window. When people see your acts of service, they see your kindness. Your acts don't contain the entire gospel, but it gives people a glimpse of what the gospel entails and what it means to be a child of God. So serve in a way that is relational, not transactional. Serve in a way where you don't look at people as something to be conquered, but someone to be loved and interacted with, to help them become all that God wants them to be. Ask yourself, does my attitude reflect the humility of Christ? Ask yourself, am I more interested in completing a project or loving a person? So I want you to do me a favor this week. Choose one regular part of your week and ask God to show you in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your gym, in your school, your favorite business, your favorite coffee place. Ask God to show you how you can begin treating it as a mission field. Not to be overtly obnoxious, but just to be salt and light where God gives you an opportunity. Matthew 5:16, look at what the text says. Jesus is speaking. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you want to share Jesus through service, live in a way worth observing. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to proclaim God's love in grace. Told you first, you got to pray. Secondly, you got to practice. Thirdly, you've got to proclaim, but you've got to proclaim God's love in grace. Everybody say grace. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you may have the right response for everybody. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Let your speech always be gracious, the ESV says, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. Prayer prepares the opportunity. Wise conduct supports the opportunity. Gracious speech uses the opportunity. And the ESV says, be like seasoned salt. So y'all, I told you I was in Atlanta this past week, and we went to this restaurant and they had this wonderful deal. So a friend of mine and I, we decided we were going to catch up and we was going to get dinner at this restaurant. I'm not going to tell you the name of it, but I will tell you this. I've never had mashed potatoes so bad in my life. Absolute worst. Absolute worst. Now, listen, there's just some basic things about cooking potatoes and rice and salt. First of all, you got to put some salt in it. Just some. Like, don't raise my blood pressure, but some salt in it. There was no salt. And then it had butter, but it had unsalted butter. So it was unsalted on top of unsalt. And it tasted like paste. It tasted like paste that you would put up. Some of y'all are old enough to remember when you put up paste to put up wallpaper and you would just, it tasted like paste. Now don't ask me how I know what paste tastes like. I'm just telling you. I was a little boy then. That's all. I just, you know, when you taste everything, right? But it just tasted like paste. And the waitress came by and she said, how's everything? And I said, well, you know, my food is okay. The stuffed chicken breast is good. But man, the mashed potatoes are the worst. And my friend said, absolutely the worst. And she said, is that bad? I said, go taste it yourself. And she said, it's really that bad. I said, no, you ain't got to believe us. Go taste it yourself. And she went to taste it and came back. She said, oh my God. It's horrible. The manager came on duty as we were getting ready to check out. He said, man, how was everything? Was everything good? I said, yeah, it was good except for the potatoes. They were horrible. He said, that bad? I said, go taste it yourself. I said, I don't know if the cook had, let me say this. The cook had time and a chance to fix them, but they probably didn't. So go taste it yourself. Watch this. When somebody interacts with you, what kind of taste do you give? Is it so bad that somebody says, man, that brother is horrible? I said, man, he can't be that bad. And they say, go taste them yourself. Go find out for yourself. He says, let your speech be gracious. Gracious speech is speech shaped by the grace that you have received from God. You are who you are by the grace of God. I am who I am by the grace of God. How dare we pontificate on somebody else? How dare we try to position ourselves as if we are better than somebody else when we are who we are by the grace of God? And watch this, the same grace that has helped you be who you are, God says, show that grace to somebody else. You say, but God, you don't know what they did. And I can hear God saying, you have forgotten what you've already done. God says, you want to criticize somebody else with a lack of grace and forget the grace that I have shown to you. See, grace affects both the content and tone of our witness. My interaction with people changes when I remember the grace of God in my life. The text says, the Bible says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. Our conversation should reflect both grace and truth. Truth without grace becomes harsh. Grace without truth becomes vague sentimentality. I can't be and should not be grace without truth, but I can't be truth without grace. There takes a balance in order to share God's love with somebody else, and your everyday speech must agree with your gospel speech. It must be full of grace and should be attractive to somebody. Too many of us who are Christians turn people off from God, not because people have a problem with God, because they have a problem with you, the representative of God. Because you act like you've been holy all your life. And the truth of the matter is, you're not all that holy now. We typically think we're holy when we eliminate certain sins from being counted against us. I tell preachers all the time, be careful about being a preacher who looks for cheap amens. Everybody say cheap amens. Now you say, what's a cheap amen, Pastor? A cheap amen is an amen that doesn't cost you anything, that's at somebody else's expense. Let me give you an example of a cheap amen. And all you whoremongers, stop your whoremongering. And all the folk who are not whoremongering or not doing it in public say amen. And all y'all smokers in here walking around like a chimney, smelling like an ashtray, cut out all that smoking. And all the non-smokers say amen, because it's at somebody else's expense. When it's your sin, something like ouch comes out. But when it's somebody else's sin, a big amen comes out. Listen, y'all. Our talk should be attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. The right response for everyone. It's a real response to everyone. So I get an Uber back to the airport on Friday, and I get in the vehicle, and the woman who's driving me seems like she's a little detached. Now, y'all, I'm not a detective. I just noticed some things because I noticed her rating. It was 5 stars, and talks about how friendly she was, and she was just a great driver, and she said absolutely nothing. She seemed like she was preoccupied, and she had on gospel music. And so I typically, when I'm riding somewhere in an Uber, I'm on the phone or I'm texting somebody trying to take care of something. And the Lord said, no, don't do that. And I really sensed the Lord for me to engage her. Now, you know, when you don't want to be bothered, you know how you kind of put out that air that you really don't want to be bothered. She was putting that all in the atmosphere. She ain't want to be bothered. And I'm saying to the Lord, Lord, I don't think she wants to be bothered. And I can sense the Holy Spirit saying, no, go on and bother her. And so I called her first by her name. Dale Carnegie said, there's no sweeter sound to a person than the sound of their name spoken into their ear. So I called her by her name. And I said, is there something I can pray for you about? And she just started shaking her head. And then she started smiling. I said, I'm feeling led just to say to you that God hears you and God knows what you're going through. And he just put me in your vehicle to encourage you today. Amen. To know that he loves you. And she said, I don't really have anything specific to pray about. I'm just going through some things and I believe God's going to work it out. And I said, let me give you an assurance as the Lord is leading me to tell you, God is going to work it out. He just needs you not to hang in there because you're hanging by your power. The Lord needs you to rest in him and trust him. Now, y'all, some of y'all looking at me saying, man, you should have got in my Uber with that message. I could have used that, right? But here's my point. How many times do you have an opportunity to be used by God that it passes you by? Or maybe you feel it. See if you can identify with this. You feel it at that moment and you say, I don't know if that was God or not. And then after the person is gone, you all convicted. You're like, shoot, I should have said, where's the person? Let me go find them if I can, right? Listen, we've got to embody grace. Let me hurry to a close, but let me just share this with you. If somebody said they were hungry and they needed bread to eat, you giving them a recipe for the best bread in the world would not satisfy their hunger. Because at that point, they don't need a recipe to make bread. They need to be given bread to eat. And my brothers and my sisters, too many of us know how to give people a recipe to be a believer. But we don't know how to give them and show them by our actions what it means to satisfy their life in Jesus Christ. So if you want to share Jesus, God says share him through service. Do not let your good deeds remain unexplained. Pray for an open door, walk through an open door, and speak when God opens the door. And part of communication is not just learning what to say, but it's also learning how to be quiet and listen. Your prayers should ask God to prepare your heart. Your service demonstrates the character of Christ, and your words declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my challenge to you is not to just come to church with the goal of having good church, but to ask God to help you to be church. So you go where hurting people are. So you notice those who other people overlook. So you draw near to those who a society pushes away. So you learn how to serve the lonely and feed the hungry and encourage the weary and support the struggling, to welcome the forgotten, to dignify the overlooked, to love people who can never repay you. Go praying, saying, Lord, I'm available to you. Use me as an instrument in your service. Pray for an open door. Pray for an open heart. Pray for open eyes. Pray for an open mouth. And then walk wisely. Serve sacrificially. And remember that the person before you is not a project to complete, but they are a soul for whom Jesus died. Tell them that Jesus sees them. Tell them that Jesus cares about them. Tell them that he died to save them. Tell them that God wants to change their lives. Tell them that Jesus welcomes the rejected. He touches the unclean. He carries our sins, and he defeated the grave. Tell them that Jesus is still calling, still forgiving, still restoring, and still saving. And let every act of service become an arrow pointing people to Jesus. Let every opportunity become an opportunity to say, I serve Jesus when I serve you. Tell him I love because Jesus first loved me. And in everything you do, point people to Calvary. What's the difference between going to the food bank and getting something and coming here to get something? They ought to get a little bit of Jesus when they come here. What's the difference between going to a thrift store and getting something or coming to the thrift store that we're going to open? They ought to get some Jesus when they come here. They ought to feel and sense the love of God pointing them to Calvary. My late pastor, Dr. R.A. Laws, was on his deathbed. Last time I talked to him, I went to see him. I was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary, and I asked him as I was getting ready to leave, I said, Pop, what would you say to a young preacher who's preparing for ministry today? And he said, Bud, he said, I tell them, make sure they go by Calvary. He said, feeding people is fine, giving out clothes is fine, but that's not our chief responsibility. We've got to take people by the cross. He said, whatever we do, it ought to be flavored, seasoned with the cross of Calvary. We ought to take people by Jesus. He started getting excited. He started getting happy. He said, yes, take them by Calvary. He said, but I'm proud of you. You're preparing to be a 21st century preacher. He said, and I want you to know I won't be at your graduation. I won't be able to make it. He said, but I'm proud of you. He said, but when you get your degree, make sure you go by Calvary and dip it in the blood. Make sure you sanctify it in the blood. Take them by the cross. Maybe that's what the old song meant when it said, at last and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon a tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man, the creature's sin. Thus I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. Some of y'all don't know that hymn, but you know the chorus. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day at the cross. And if I found the remedy and the recipe for joy in life at the cross, let's serve, always keeping in mind we've got to bring people to the cross. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for serving us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he did not remain distant from our brokenness, but entered our world, took the form of a servant, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Forgive us for the times we have been too busy to notice people. Forgive us for the times we have been too comfortable to serve. Forgive us for the times we've been too afraid to tell somebody about Jesus and what you have done in our life. Make us devoted to prayer, God. Teach us to remain thankful. Open doors for your word and prepare hearts to receive the gospel. Give us wisdom in the way that we live, God, so that we can help those who don't know you to see you in us. And help us recognize the divine opportunities in ordinary moments. May our conduct reflect humility, compassion, integrity, and love. God, I pray now that you would send us out as your servants. Send us out as your witnesses. Let our hands demonstrate your love and our mouths declare your gospel. It's in Jesus' name we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. Pastor Cam is going to come and give us our invitation to discipleship today. And whether you are here in the sanctuary or you're listening wherever you are, there's an opportunity for you to say yes to Jesus Christ today. It's not a coincidence that you're here. It's not a coincidence that you're watching. I believe it's a God incident. And every round goes higher and higher. You've got to make a commitment to go to the next level, to continue your journey to becoming all that God wants you to be. And so if you're here today and you're looking for a church family to connect with, you're looking for a place and a people that will help you to walk in help you discover God's purpose for your life. That's what we're here for. And that's what we want to help you to do. Amen. Amen.
We give God praise for the greatest pastor anywhere. Amen. Come on, church. Let's really make God's praises known for our pastor today. Come on, church. He's valued everywhere in the nation, and we want him to feel valued here at home. Amen. We are so excited to have such a word that gives us our responsibility. Pastor talked about taste it. The scripture says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." The question is, who's giving out the samples? If the Lord is good, we are the ones who give out the samples. And today, we've been reminded. You ever been to the mall? I love going to the mall. Not for what you all think. I do more window shopping than I do shopping. Okay. I wear the same clothes 10 years. It just I like going for the food court. I like going for the food court. And when you get in that food court, I'm especially excited when I see the Japanese or the Chinese giving out their samples. And I don't know if you like me, but they normally have somebody standing out there with a piece of chicken, bourbon chicken or orange chicken. And depending on how many they have, I'm like, well, what's that? What's that right there? Let me have some of that. And then I wait about 10 minutes and then come on back around and just, you know, that was my brother. You know, that wasn't me. That was my brother. And yeah, take my glasses off. You understand? Reorient, you know, so they give me some more of the samples. And I can't tell you how many times they've gotten me just that way. I can't tell you how many times they've given me a piece of bourbon chicken or orange chicken or whatever the case. And I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to buy. I'm going to get a whole plate of that. That's exactly what God calls us to do. He's good. He's gracious. He's kind. He's merciful. He's loving. He's God. And he's done in your life what no one else can do in your life, and it's our job to give out the samples. So as we stand today, I want us to think about this call and this charge that we've been given today. If you're here today and you're not saved, the call is not just for you to serve. It's for you to follow Jesus, to know that you belong to him, to know that he wants a relationship with you, to know that he wants to make something beautiful out of your life. And today is your opportunity to get in on what God has for you. If you're saved and you're not serving, this invitation is for you. God wants you to be a part of the family of Christ, the family of God. And God wants you to be able to live up to his divine purpose for your life. So let's sing together and let's extend the opportunity to Christ and discipleship this morning. We offer Christ to you.
We offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother,
we offer Christ.
We offer Christ to you. sister.
What will he do, church?
He will give you brand new life. New life abundantly. Oh, come.
Come on.
Come on.
Let's sing it a little bit louder, church. Come on. We offer Christ to you.
We offer Christ to you. Oh, my brother. We offer Christ to you. Oh, my sister. He will give you brand new.
You to ask that person next to you, ask them, are you saved? Come on, ask them. Tell them, I got another question. Are we waiting on you? And if they say yes, if they shake their head up and down, matter of fact, if they give you the unction, tell them, listen, I'm gonna be your spiritual Uber. And I'm going to be your spiritual lift. I'm going to bring you down to a life that's better and more complete and more sweet. All right? Everybody who's a believer in the house, wave your hand. I love it. Look at all of these people here who are ready to accept you as their new family. Come on, let's sing it together again. And if you're here, we want you to come. Come on. We offer Christ.
We offer Christ to you.
Oh, my brother.
Oh, my brother.
We offer Christ to you, oh, my sister.
To you, oh, my sister.
What will he do, church? He will.
He will give you brand new life.
New life.
New life abundantly.
So come.
Oh, come.
Yeah, you ought to come.
Come on.
Oh, to Christ.
To Christ.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you, and we give you the glory for giving us the opportunity to serve the samples. Father, help us to be just what you've called us to be. Father, thank you for the decisions in the hearts of men that have been made today to be more like you. Father, as we move forward in this service, we ask that you impress your word and keep it upon our hearts, that nothing shall steal it. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and we give thanks for this opportunity and this moment. We say amen, amen. Amen. Come on, church. Can we give God praise? Come on, come on, come on. Let's raise it in the house. God has been so good to us, and we are so excited that God has given us opportunity to give and extend the word of God, and not only to extend the invitation to walk with God. Amen. Amen.